All right, welcome to this week's edition of the William Hill Racing Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. This is Josh Nagel filling in briefly for Ken Barler, who is here at the Club Calneva facility, but he's taking care of business. Of course, we're on a little bit earlier than normal, so some business has to be done before we can get on to the Wolfpack game. And in the meantime, I will help carry us through till Ken joins us with a regular contributor, especially of late, Tommy Thompson. Good to see you.
How you doing, Josh?
Doing well, and let's talk, since it's the obvious thing, we're on early because of the Wolfpack game. I think everyone here is heading straight up afterward. We'll just jump right into a little bit of the betting action, which I think is interesting. I think Ken's posted some continual updates. It's something, of course, we've talked about ever since, you know, lines were announced. It was interesting. Purdue opened at 8, 8.5. And I thought, even with the work I do on Sportsline, you know, I even put a little article out there. I was like, hey, if you'd like Purdue, get it now. I have no doubt this is going to be the public special on a Friday night, right? CBS Sports Network. This one's going to be a public special where the Big Ten team just gets hammered. I was like, hey, if you like Purdue, get it while it's inside of 10 points, but I even predicted, you know, movement of 11 or higher, which is where we're at now, which is pretty crazy because you could even buy off that. But it's one of those things. If you acted early on Purdue and somehow took Nevada at like 11.5, so many key numbers with the football games fall on routinely, 9, 10, and 11, a real big chance for a middle. Pretty sure that's a strategy Ken's going to employ as well. But and there's been, you know, since Nevada named the starting quarterback, the personnel depth charts have been released, there's been a little bit of steam in the betting world on them. But it's pretty crazy. From opener of 8 to 11, that's a lot of points to lay. Purdue's got a great All-American receiver, Rondell Moore. You know, Nevada's got a pretty nice returning set of, you know, skill position players, but a redshirt freshman at quarterback. And, Tommy, what do you think? Like, I'll admit, I'm one who jumped in on Purdue early, but I do think I'll take Nevada late and try to hit both bets.
Well, I remember the conversation we all had about if that line kept creeping up over double digits, which it's clearly at now, betting the home team is always fun, especially the team we love. Getting 11 points, and, I mean, who knows? We still have 2.5 hours, you know, plus before that goes off. It might change some more. But if you're a Pac fan, I think there's a lot of value in taking this right now.
Just before kickoff. Sorry, Josh. You got
that's all right.
We
just led into the Nevada-Purdue game, and we were talking about how pretty massive line movement, but now it appears that, you know, Nevada with the points is a pretty good value spot.
I came back with it. Everybody kind of – so the reason I was a little bit late is because Josh, he turned me onto a little two-team parlay. So a little $40 wager, UMass on the money line to Nevada on the money line, plus $6, plus $350. I bet 40. It gets back $1,260.
How often do you lose betting against Rutgers? I mean, seriously. I mean, they're a little better, but it's worth a shot every time.
How about my parlay the other day when they had the Houston was minus 550 and I made a three team $20 parlay paid $1,400. I have Houston loses. The first leg I got in. My last two games were the Giants and the against the Cubs, and the Giants had the lead in the eighth.
I know.
And then and the Dodgers.
I had the other one. I had Blue Jays plus 325. Yeah. I just had two. I had the Tigers Blue Jays, and that was painful. $20 two teamer for about 900. Bunch of Blue Jays tied at one in the ninth, and then lose on a walk off. They left guys on third like every single inning, so that was agonizing. But these things will hit. You know,
well, I'm gonna post it on our Facebook page right now.
They're about to start hitting out, right?
Kenny B.
Like I said,
Kenny
come
B.
On.
Kenny B.
Give you reason to watch Rutgers and
Kenny B. ESPN Sports Handicapping.
UMass.
I'm taking a picture of it right now. And I'm even putting the barcode and stuff. Yeah, maybe not. Who cares? Nobody's gonna. I made the wager. They know who I am here. So,
okay. Let's talk a little bit about the total as well. I thought it was interesting. I think we saw an opener of like, you know, in the area of 59 in Nevada had a reputation as being this offensive type of team, run and shoot. They got a lot of high totals. But Tommy, last year especially, they became kind of an under machine. They started playing a little bit better defense, and the offense wasn't as efficient. So that led to some real low scoring games, including the bowl game. I think it was like 13-10, right? But
16-13 in overtime.
Right. Okay. But, yeah, they walked off with that touchdown. And yet, this is an interesting one because Purdue isn't up-tempo type of offensive team. You know, Nevada can be. They're hoping to be. But you've seen some real fluctuations, my point, because I think it opened at like 59. At one point, that total got as low as like 56.5. But just a couple minutes ago, I had fired up the William Hill app. It looked like it was back to 59. So some crazy fluctuations on that total, Ken.
I just made a man-sized wager on the under 59.5.
So you 59.5. So, well, but that's a three-point swing
here's
both ways. Unusual on a total.
Game one. Big Ten team coming to, you know, traveling west. We have a freshman quarterback starting. Never seen any college action. So how do you think the game's going to start? Is he going to come out and just start winging it? I mean, seriously, just come or are they going to try?
That's a good call.
Okay.
Experience backfield.
Not only that, I think the Purdue quarterback. I look at his
Elijah Sindelar.
Yeah, I have his stat. I have some stats right here of him. He only played. Golly, I can't. I'm getting so old. I need to fire up my app. So, anyways, so the kid that's starting he's 6'4", Sindelar. He completed 26 of 44 passes last year, so he only threw for 283 yards. My point being is that they're young too,
and except Sindelar is 23-year-old, 6-year senior. The reason why, Ken, is just so you know, he rotated with David Blau, who's now trying out for the Cleveland Browns. I don't know if he's been cut yet, but the only thing that happens, they were sort of rotating quarterbacks, and he got hurt, so that's why he only had so many few completions.
So where I was headed with this, Josh, is that he's playing behind a very young offensive line too. They only return two starters. They're going to start a freshman and two sophomores on the offensive line for Purdue. So with that being said, is Purdue going to come out and wing it? I mean, I know they got this All-American,
right, Rondale Moore,
who was, he's 5'9", 180 pounds, freshman of the year, first team Big Ten on the punt returner as a punt returner, and first team Big Ten as a wide receiver. But of course we're going to game plan for him. And I actually had a meeting with Doug Knuth, and we were talking the other day, and it eluded me, but their starting running back is out. He broke his jaw in practice.
Right.
So their starting running back is out. So, I took a flyer on a man-sized bet on under 59.5. And I just don't think anything can happen. You can see somebody break it up the middle for 60, 80 yards. That stuff's going to happen. But I think Pack's going to come out. They're going to try to establish Tawa, Kincaid, and these running backs, and try and maybe hit some short passes, and get this freshman into the swing of things and start slow. And like you said, Josh, by the end of the year last year, Nevada basically was an under machine.
Yeah, and again, for what it's worth, you make a good point. That number being key, because you got the best of it for sure, because I didn't want any part of that total at 56. 59.5, I'm leaning under as well, because you just do the math of this. College games are much higher scoring than the NFL. 59 is such a key number. That tells you 31-28 either way goes under. That's a fairly high scoring game. I've always been amused that college total is so much higher than the NFL, and I get it, because sometimes you also get your Arizona-Hawaii where it's 52-48 or whatever. But to me, it's pretty crazy, Tommy, because 31-28 is a lot of scoring for any level of football, and that's under.
It's a lot of scoring, but, I mean, opening game last year, how many points did we score?
I have to go back and look. You can't just hit me with random questions like that. I mean, I can get it real quick, but,
No, and, I mean, it goes back to, I mean.
But we opened up, who did we open up with last year? Well, we were up 14-0 against Purdue. Give me a second. I have this information. I'll get it for you.
But I think we all are kind of in love with the whole thought of the air raid offense with Norvell, and I think we're just waiting for that to happen.
We're not an air raid offense. We're not.
But to Ken's point, though, with a freshman quarterback who's never seen a live snap in a real game, why not rely on proven weapons? You have a reliable backfield. Both guys are very productive. And then when they probably get him, Tommy, I would assume you break a guy into something like that with some quick bubble screens, the high percentage stuff, right? The bubble screen, some quick outs, gets his confidence going. Then maybe later you can take some deeper shots. But as Ken alluded to, I think being more conservative, especially in the early going, is probably what you're going to see. And I think the Pack needs to find a reliable ground game so they're not as dependent on the pass moving forward.
Absolutely, Gray. I mean, anytime you have a freshman, quarterback.
Yeah. We played Presbyterian last year. 72-19. But then we go on the road.
Sorry, I thought it was FCS.
Yeah, I couldn't remember who it was. Then we go on the road, and everybody thought, oh my goodness, we had this unstoppable offense, even though you kind of got to take the opponent into consideration. But we go to Purdue and only score 10. I mean, not Purdue, excuse me, Vanderbilt.
Right, and
only score 10. Then we come back home against a really, really, really poor Oregon State team, and that game ends up 37-35. I mean, so you're looking at that game only going over by about, from what I'm getting, 37-35, it goes over by, 13 points? I mean, so my point is that, I like to look at game flow. And with these two quarterbacks, I don't think they'll come out gunning. Anything can happen. You can get punt returns, you can get broken coverages and stuff like that, but you just can't handicap that. What if Purdue gets ahead? Are they going to keep slinging the ball around the field, or are they going to run the ball? What if Nevada jumps out to a 10-point lead? Are they going to keep slinging the ball around the field, or are they going to try and run the clock? I mean, there's just
tempo.
So many. I see so many more scenarios where this game goes under the 59.5 than I do seeing it going over the 59.5.
Right, and it's worth noting, too, Purdue is such a team of extreme home-road splits, and I get that. A lot of college teams are. They play better at home. No one disputes that. Nevada is the same. But some are more extreme than others. Can. When I go to last year, it was probably one of the most exciting games of the year when Purdue – routed Ohio State at home, and I said Purdue was the best team in the country that night. They were. They just put it on them. Every play they ran was a touchdown. You're like, this team is unstoppable. Next week at Michigan State, I think they scored 13. Yep. I mean, I think they lost like 16, 13, whatever it was.
Boy, could you not see that coming?
And then, yes, of course. Like, I took Michigan State the next week for sure. And then they scored like 10 at Minnesota. They got blown out by Minnesota 2 weeks later, again, on the road. So it's like, what is this thing? If Purdue looks like fast break football on turf 1 week, they look like the best offense in the country, and 2 weeks later they can't get a first down. So it's also worth noting, they're the team that's on the road, even though it's a season opener and everyone wants to start off on a positive note.
It was Portland State, not Presbyterian. My mistake. Sorry. Go ahead. Anyways, Josh, go ahead.
Really splitting the hairs. Could have easily been Presbyterian.
Somebody yell at the radio.
I was going to say, as soon as you said that, I was like, man, I don't remember that. But, Portland State. I remember the 70 points being scored.
Somebody's yelling at the radio.
Portland State! For sure.
It's the Hawk, for sure.
Yeah, no, it's the Presbyterian, the one Presbyterian fan in all of northern Nevada that doesn't want the bad rap, because the Portland State fans are going, yeah, was them, not us. But anyways, but with that being said, Josh, I see a lot of and William Hill's going to have this game in the end play, so I think we'll have a quarter where there might be 10 points scored, or maybe even 7, or maybe even a couple of field goals or something like that. So I just don't see it being a shootout. But here's the deal, Josh and Tommy, if it does go flying over, I welcome it, because it lets me know that Nevada has got some offensive firepower this year. Not only that, Malik's going to play this today. We're going to see Malik play. I guarantee you, Malik, the Florida State kid that went to Last Chance U, I guarantee you we get to see him.
Why do you guarantee? No, I'm asking seriously.
Norville has to know what he's got in the tank. Okay. Some people are just not good. How many times have you heard this in the NFL or even in some college programs that, oh, he's not a good practice player, we had no idea what we got until he got to the field? What if this kid is just not a good – he's right there on the cusp, but what if he comes in and just lights it up and he's like, oh, my goodness. So, no, I think you have to find out, Josh, the game talent that this guy has in his body, and you have to do it right now, because the last thing you would want to do is find that out 7 games in and be sitting there going, what if?
Fair.
I guarantee you he gets at least one series tonight.
We'll see. I would agree with that, only except for in the recent short history of Norvell, you're right, there were some other quarterback controversies. If I recall correctly, the starter went the distance. Ty Ganji, they picked him over Cornwell. They didn't sit Cornwell in there. Yeah. It was they waited him out. But we'll see.
But here's another thing. What better chance for a true freshman or a redshirt freshman that's your starting quarterback to get a series on the sidelines to see what's going on from the sidelines?
And do you think maybe they would have a special package, too, that's just possible running or whatever it is? Yeah.
So I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited about the youth of the team. Everything that I've read is, that we're faster and we're stronger, more physical, which we're going to need to be. And this Purdue team's coming in very, very young. They have 16 freshmen, redshirt freshmen, on their two deep depth charts. That means 16 freshmen are backing up.
Right, and their most experienced D lineman is out with a knee injury also.
Yeah. So should I say this or not? No, I can't say it. There were some Purdue people down at our other little sister casino today series, and I was having a little chat with them. So, but I'm not going.
And you showed them the door. You said, here's your burger and your beer. Very nice.
Hey, the Purdue. I will tell you the economy too. Come over here.
Right.
I did get the conversation did start in with a little bit of an argument. And not argument, disagreement. And he goes, yeah, I can't believe we're only favored by 6. And I go, what? He goes, yeah, we're favored by 6. I go, no. I go, we're favored by 11. And he goes, no, 6. He goes, I'm telling you right now, one of the casinos, we got here last night, one of the casinos has Nevada or has Purdue minus 6. And I'm going, no way. I go, where? He goes, right over there. And I said, 6? He goes, yeah. He goes, and the total's 28. And I go, first half, sir.
Of course.
He goes, why are you so surprised?
I said, listen, the board.
You show me a minus 6 by Purdue, and I'm going to go find my – I'm going to do everything I can to get the biggest loan on my house I can. At minus 6.
I think the total might be better on that one, but yeah.
Exactly. That might be over by halftime. But anyways, but with that being said, so anyways, go ahead. But, no, very, very nice guy. His son is a starter for Vanderbilt. And I'm not going to say – just in case – I don't want to get anybody in trouble for some – me sticking my foot in my mouth. But very, very nice people. They were there. They said Vanderbilt got here Wednesday.
The Boilers, right, Purdue?
Excuse me, Purdue. Purdue got here Wednesday and prepped for the altitude and the climate and everything. Apparently,
that's pretty early arrival for a college team.
Apparently they're not staying over. They're going back tonight after the game. He said that he got to see his son between 11 and 2 today. I think that's when they said they had some free time. So anyways, with that being said, Wolfpack kicks off tonight. Everybody knows I made a big bet at -8 earlier in the year because of Josh. We talked about this when the very first lines came out, and I said, I guarantee this is not going. It's not going south. It's going north. And here we are sitting right now. The last time I looked, it was Purdue -11, and I already bet back a little bit. I laid a half a point and took, so I have 8, 9, 10, and 11 because I actually ended up, I wanted to capture 11 along with my 10.
Perfect. You came before you joined us. We talked about that exact same dynamic. I told Tommy, if you go on Sportsline, you'll see about a 3-week-old pick for me because we do the same thing. You're locked in, the recommendations you give the subscribing members, things like that. It's about the universal line at the time you put in the pick. And when I saw that, I said, hey, jump on this now. You'll never find Purdue, under 10. I said, this is going to close 11 or higher if that's what you want. So I have a pick, recommended pick on Sportsline with Purdue, I believe, at -8. And yeah, it's worth noting. So I had some other colleagues ask me, what do you think about Nevada at 11? I said, I like it. I said, you can like it both ways because there's a real good chance of Bidlin that.
Scott Van Pelt came on last night on his little thing. And did you
I
see
saw
it?
That, but that I didn't, the audio was tough. I couldn't hear it very well on Facebook.
He said Purdue traveling to the West Coast first game of the year. He goes, playing at the altitude. He goes, this Nevada team is scrappy. He goes, I like Nevada in the double digits.
All right.
Scott Van Pelt's really good at picking his college bets as well. So
he's a good dude.
Well, over the years, he's had a pretty good record, or 20, but that's like all he does. Home underdogs, not surprisingly, he gets around 60%.
So let's, which is good. If believe me, listeners, do not listen or believe any propaganda when anybody says they're picking more than 60% because it is BS. Believe me, I know the best handicappers in the world, and if you can pick 55%, you can make a living doing this. But anyways, and believe me, everybody's going to go, oh, what are you talking about? Believe me. Believe
especially me. If you're doing a form, Ken, I've been doing this seriously for a living for a while now. But if you're someone who bets continually and you think, oh, 54, 55% is no sweat, do a thing with a tracking system that you can't hide, can't delete. Right.
Be honest.
As in my case, the computer system wouldn't let you, I mean, it's just there and it's recorded and there for the world to see. And yeah, over 3 or 4 years, do 1,000, picks worth and see how many you end up on the winning side of and tell me then that 550 wins is easy to come by.
Absolutely.
Out of 1,000.
Out of 1,000.
Most people have no chance.
That's true. No, I absolutely agree. So just, Tommy, hold that off. We're up against a commercial break here, but if you can't make it to the Wolfpack game, we will be showing it here at the Club Caliva in our event room. We have 2 20-foot screens, glass enclosed, smoke-free. We have the return of the $3 hot dog and Heineken. Oh, man.
I saw the snack bar was open.
Oh, my goodness.
A burger and whatever for like $7 are pretty good,
$2
too.
$2 Bud and Bud Lights. Nice. I mean, it's the place to watch. So if you can't make it out, if you can't make it to Mackey to watch the Wolfpack game, come down to the Club Caliva and watch it here. Let's head off to our first commercial break. We come back, we'll continue talking about this game and a boatload of other games. Getting ready to kick off. William Hill Sports Show, ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Caliva.
We're back. Here comes you live. What were you singing, Tommy? The most beautiful, wonderful.
The most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, that's true. I just going, whoop, yeah, Tommy. I was singing that going when I was going up to get me a little $2 Bud Light. I was going, this guy looks at me and goes, what are you singing? And I go, come on now. All right, what do we got here? One time, so Josh and I and Tommy made a little parlay here, just a money line bet. Took Nevada on the money line at +350 to UMass +$6. Obviously, Josh has done a little bit of research on this game, so I think he tends to like UMass a little bit. Let's get some updates.
Yeah, Rutgers has a new coach, whatever. They're supposed to be a little bit improved, but let's tell you, they opened at 14, Ken. They're now up to 7. I also did I did a straight bet with the points on UMass.
UMass is in field goal range.
It's just one of those things. This is not that big of a long shot in terms of the reality of it. And like, how did Rutgers, be a 17-point favorite over any other, provided it's not Division III team or whatever, over another Division I team? Granted, UMass is barely Division I themselves. They're still coming along.
Oh, yeah.
But this is one of those where both teams are scrapping for what might be one of two victories on the season. And UMass, I don't think, is going to go quietly. And they've improved a little the last couple of years. So that shot had to be taken. Can you parlay it to what's a pretty favorable home underdog in Nevada's case, and it's like, this isn't out of reach. It really
is. Wake Forest kickoff tonight?
It's supposed to be 5, I believe. Wake Forest.
Oh,
Wake Forest
is.
And Utah State.
Oh boy, it's up to $5. It's up to 5.
Yeah, it's
wow.
bad. The spread's bad, and the total's up to 61 last I checked.
I'm betting
and
it.
Yeah, I did think it goes over. I think those teams both play a lot of offense and no defense, but high
sharp
total.
Guy I know, he played Wake Forest. You can still get Wake
it
Forest.
It opened at like 3.
Yeah, you can still get Wake Forest at a really good number on the card. A really good number on the card. So.
Okay.
3rd and 13 at the 30-yard line. Come on, let's go. We need UMass to get about 5 yards. 4th and 13. God dang it. Incomplete pass. So we got 4th and 13 at the Rutgers 30. 30, 47-yard field goal attempt. We'll see what happens here. But anyways, Wolfpack kicks off in about 2 hours and 10 minutes, 6:30 at night down at Mackey. Like we said, playing the Purdue Boilermakers. Nevada opened up as a 8-point dog, and they're up to an 11-point dog, and we kind of told everybody what we like. I like the under quite a bit, so I put a little bet on the under. I think the pace is going to be there, so that's what I got, Josh.
Yeah, I like it as well. I think I'll do the same. I haven't done it yet, Ken, but given all the dynamics and details we just spoke about, I like it as well. But I have that opening bet on Purdue -8. I could buy that back. And you mentioned the end game, which is huge. It's, again, huge that this is on TV for people who can't make it. CBS Sports Network, we're watching Rice and Army right now at halftime. But CBS Sports Network, and the fact that's sort of what prompts William Hill to give the end game, where more eyeballs are going to be watching the nationally broadcast games. And I think that will be probably a profitable proposition as well.
Absolutely. So, but if you can't make it down to Mackey, you can come right down here to the Club County and we'll watch it in their event room here. 220 smoke glass enclosed, smoke free, 20-foot screens. Man, just $2 805s and Bud Lights and $3 hot dog and Heineken. $3 hot dog. Basically, you're buying Heineken and we're throwing in a hot dog for a quarter.
Yeah, it's not a bad deal at all.
No, it's not. Josh or Tommy Thompson, whoever.
Well, just to say, if you've never come down here and watched any of the sporting events, whether it's a fight, whether it's Sunday football, I mean, that event room is outstanding. Like Ken said, smoke-free. You have great beer selection at the bar right here, great food right there, all affordable. Perfect.
All right. If you have the William Hill sports card, the parlay card, the half-point card, we were just talking about this Wake Forest game. Nick Bogdanovich, the lead trader, used Wake Forest -3.5 on the card, and it's all the way up to 5.5. So, five. So a 1.5 move towards Wake Forest playing Utah State. I'm kind of throwing that in there because they're playing, Utah State. So with that being said, Josh, I know that you kind of like Wake Forest a little bit tonight, huh?
I do. Like I said, I almost posted the play on Sportsline. I didn't like how it got out of range, though. And here's the thinking. They did a home-and-home deal, and I'm pretty sure – I have to look this up. I'm pretty sure Wake went and knocked them off in Utah last year, and that's rare. Utah State's a good home team. As we know, they ended up being a real strong Mountain West team. Wake struggled. They had a bunch of injuries and young guys. They still found a way to become bowl eligible. I'm a big fan of what they're doing with the program because, it's tough. At ACC, it's kind of like Stanford in the Pac-12. I mean, they had a tough time, kind of like Duke, getting players to academically qualify and compete in the ACC. But they do a nice job. And they had two, young quarterbacks last year who kind of rotated. And now, both of them are back. I think they picked the right one. And with this guy, Jamie Newman, who's explosive, kind of dual threat over the other guy.
Touchdown, UMass.
Nice.
I don't know how they did it. What happened? It was fourth
fake field goal or what?
I don't know, baby.
But it has to be. That's awesome. But
man, just give me Nevada to win for 1,200.
Nice. I told you that's good. The chances of that coming in the barn are better than it looks on paper. Believe me.
Anyways.
And anyhow, Wake Forest. So now they got two experienced quarterbacks, and they're both good. Again, one's the better passer. The guy they chose to start's the better runner. Love the Utah State quarterbacks getting a lot of attention, but I also looked them up, Ken, and they only have two offensive starters back. They hired back Gary Anderson, who was there and then meandered around. Remember, he took the Wisconsin job, couldn't really stand the heat, so he went up and hit at Oregon State and ended up quitting there, too. And Utah State took him back because, remember, their coach Matt Wells went to Texas Tech. So they're familiar. It's an old but new coach. It's his first year and his second go-round. And they'll have good continuity, and Love, the quarterback, is a nice player. But I just think, personnel-wise, Wake should be ahead of him, but don't like laying. Again, the spread's gotten a little out of hand.
TD, UMass, field goal or extra point good, 7-0, we're the lead. Yes, other games we got going tonight, Wisconsin, South Florida, Wisconsin going on the road, laying 11. Josh, any thoughts there? This game already started. Excuse me.
Oh, Sam. Okay, yeah. Put it this way, it's weird because that one opened at 13 and closed down. I kind of like the underdog, and only that Wisconsin was a big disappointment last year. They only have, I know Jonathan Taylor is their best player, great running game, but to me, especially South Florida, as well as they tend to play at home with their defense and athleticism, Wisconsin's just not. They haven't been separating like they used to. It used to be, they would kind of bowl you over and they would separate late. I have a tough time with it in this one. I really, until Wisconsin proves to me that they've kind of turned the corner, I would only have the underdog didn't play.
John the Hawk Stevens, a big Colorado Buffalo fan. He'll be here for the last two segments, so remind me to ask John who he likes in this Colorado State game. That game kicks off at 7 o'clock. It's in Denver at Invesco Field. Colorado opened up at 13.5. It's down to 13, so a little bit of money, I guess. A little bit of money coming in on the dog, trying to get it. So a little, favorites up, move a half a point. So what's the total in this game? 71.5. Oh no, that's Oklahoma State game. I was going, whoa,
right,
56
right.
And a half. I looked at the wrong way. That's way too many for a Colorado State game. So with that being said, no real opinion here, but a little bit of move coming in on the dog down to 13.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, that makes to me it makes sense. That's where the heavy money was, because just again, similar general principle of the Nevada Bay. Hey, live double-digit home. Now, South Florida's always got their share of athletes. They could be able to slow Wisconsin down a little bit, but just Wisconsin's hit a bit of a downstretch for the program.
How's the weather going to affect that game, you think, with the hurricane coming in?
I don't know.
Which game are you talking about?
You know, they've had they moved the Florida State game to Tallahassee.
Yeah.
I don't know
exactly. I thought we were talking about Colorado State.
Florida.
Did I?
I thought we were still on Wisconsin, South Florida.
I don't ever remember bringing that game up. That game already started. Oh, no. Did it start yet?
Oh, but nonetheless. Because, there's been various delays and movements of games. But if you want
to. It has been moved to 4:55. Okay. I stand corrected, Josh. Go ahead.
Okay. So, nonetheless, I don't know what the threat is of that game being delayed. But, if you were last night.
Josh?
Yeah. Microphone off. No, I definitely think that the weather's going to play a little bit of a factor there in terms of. I think everybody just wants to get out of that state right now, and they moved that Florida State game. They took it off all the cards, too, if you're going to bet it.
God bless those people and all those people back there and what they're getting ready to encounter. We send our best and wish everybody the best out there. Like you said, just Wisconsin, South Florida, Wisconsin a big favorite in this game. They moved it. It originally was supposed to start at 4 o'clock. It's scheduled now. It looks like it's slated for 4:55, 11, and 58.5. So Colorado State, 13.5, Josh?
That's tough. This used to be a fairly close rivalry, and it used to be one dominated by the underdog, but Colorado has taken control the last few years because they've just had much better teams. Colorado State's faded, basically ever since they lost, Jim McElwain a few years ago, who ended up going to Florida, now at Central Michigan. But, they have Montez. I mean, Colorado has the more experience. They have an experienced quarterback, a pro prospect at receiver, and it looks like Colorado State's still kind of rebuilding. So I'm not surprised to see it. A spread in the 2-touchdown range, but I couldn't play it, Ken, if nothing else. Especially between these two kind of heated rivals, and you see it's at Invesco Field where the Broncos play. They always do that, so it's kind of a neutral site for the people between Fort Collins and Boulder. Because they're so competitive, we'll see. I would think still maybe the underdog would be the play, but lately they've done pretty well stopping each other, and at 56.5, I might consider the under there too.
Yeah, I just if
Tanner Schmidt just wrote the only sliver of knowledge in class that ESPN has left, other than us, I'm sure that's what Tanner meant, and he was talking about Scott Van Pelt. Tanner, right? I mean, Tanner, you met us because we are ESPN too. So, anyways, go ahead, Tanner, giving you a shout out there, Josh.
The only play I'd probably have is I'd take the 12.5. Just I mean, that's a lot of points in any game, especially first game of the season, a rivalry. That's just a lot of play right there.
Yeah, it's a pass for me. It's a pass for me. I do have a whole slate of games that I wagered on. I'm going to give them out on the radio, too. So moving on to that. A little bit later, we have two more games that we haven't talked about. Like I said, Nevada-Purdue scheduled to kick off at 6:35. The game is on what's the station? It's like 221.
CBS Sports Network.
CBS Sports Network. That's it. So if you're on DirecTV, I think it's 221.
Cool. 221? All I know is that the charter one is 8:13. That's what I've got at home. So yeah.
Yep. And we'll be showing that here right here at the Club County. But that game kicks off at 6:35. We already talked a lot about that game. Another interesting game a little bit later. Oregon State. Oklahoma State, or Oklahoma State laying 14.5. That's what it currently is. Nick actually used 13.5 on the card, and it's went up to a flat 14. Some of the wise guys, sharp guys I know, they're weighing in a little bit on Oregon State, Josh.
Yeah, you know what's tough? Can I give a little shout out to Sportsline here? Because we have some of the computer formulas or whatnot. For some reason, our computer robot model really likes Oklahoma State. I think it's tough though because they're kind of rebuilding. They lost. They got a high degree of turnover. Oregon State is always in rebuilding mode, it seems. But they were actually more competitive than I expected last year, right? I mean, they hired the guy who used to play quarterback for him. I believe it was Jonathan Smith. And Oregon State, I thought, was more competitive than expected.
Can I give you a UMass update?
Yeah.
We picked them. With the first down at the Rutgers 44,
yeah, right.
UMass with a pick.
I told you, this is huge. Their listeners might not want to, constant updates.
If you want to know what we're talking about, look at our Facebook page, Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. I have a $40 two-team parlay that pays $1,200.
I thought I fired enough at 20, and then you just had to big-time me and double down.
That's what
on
I do.
It. I know. So, but nonetheless.
Am I the one-up guy?
Yeah, pretty much. Oregon State. So, like I said, they're not the most reliable home dog. I guess I can see why our computer robot likes Oklahoma State against poor defensive teams. You can just see the Cowboys running that thing.
Hold on. UMass update. Touchdown. 13-0 UMass.
All right. But
I could do this all night. Interrupt you just for you, Mitch. You match
71.5 tells you they don't expect either team to play much defense, and you know, maybe expected to get a little out of hand with Oklahoma State. But actually, Oregon State is sort of on the come. I'm not surprised they said sharp guys to take that spot. Doesn't surprise me.
I'm staying away from this game. I was actually going to ask Kenny. I know he's not an Oklahoma State fan, but he might.
Well,
have a little
I
more.
Am. I am well, Oklahoma State because my buddy's Mike Gundy. The head coach. Yeah, right. My buddy's the head coach. But they're my second favorite team in Oklahoma.
Correct.
Just so you know.
I know, but
third, Del City or Oklahoma, OU, Del City Eagles, then Oklahoma State.
Okay.
And if you know anything about Mike Gundy, he was a Midwest City Bomber, and I hate those guys as much as I hate Texas football. Okay. Go ahead.
That's some pretty disdain there.
Yeah, it is.
So what are your thoughts as being the Oklahoma guy?
On this game, you know, Oregon State's terrible. They've been terrible last year. Nevada beat them last year. You know,
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. I know that Oklahoma State is down a little bit. Last year was their
They have high turnover right now.
Exactly. They have a lot of high turnover. Mike Gundy still has the best hair in all of college football. I swear, if one of these days when he comes out here, I'm gonna get.
And for what it's worth, too, he always coaches them up. Even in years like this, when you know toward the end of the year, they'll be competitive. Probably give the Sooners a little bit of a scare or something.
Nah.
But they usually win a couple they're not supposed to, or you know what I mean.
Yeah. So, you know, Josh, it's probably a pass. Like I said, the sharp guys liked it at 13.5, and it's in at 14. If it gets to 14.5, I'm going to be at the Wolfpack game. So if it gets to 14.5, I might weigh in on Oregon State a little bit at home and just see where it takes us. But where are you watching the game, Josh?
Well, this
the Nevada game.
If I can't, I'm going to make a desperate thing to get up there. If not, I'll be at the CBS offices watching it, doing work.
You know, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to one-up you. In my skybox, Josh.
Been invited, I might have made a greater effort to get
Josh,
to the game.
I have a ticket for you.
Oh,
I have a ticket for you. You got an hour?
You're going to make that skybox collapse with the people you fit in there.
Well, listen, I was a quarterback in high school, and I'm bringing my entire offensive line. <That's it. laughs>
And Josh, the fried chicken is amazing.
No fried chicken this year. Nevada changed rules.
Uh-oh.
They changed rules on us.
Is that right?
Yep. I'm not going to get into it.
Okay.
So, anyways, you're right.
Josh is out now.
Yeah. So, if anybody's up at the Nevada game, box 317, it's the west side box, third floor. So, Josh, seriously, I got a ticket for you.
All right.
I meant to text you. I apologize. I didn't, but I have a ticket for you. So, let me know. Make it happen.
All right.
All right. So, going back to the Oklahoma State game. Now, no opinion real here, guys. I'm going to pass on it.
Yeah. I probably, again, can't believe that's FS1. I mean, that's a televised one as well. So, you'll get some in-game if you want to. And yeah, take a little piece of the action there. But to me, that's one. Hey, Oregon State's going to be able to score. You know, that they may approach that total, but I'm going to wait and see on it.
Yeah, I'm passing on that game. There's nothing really that interests me. I think Oklahoma State should beat them pretty easily, but that's still a really, really tall number for opening game.
Going on the road, like Josh said, a rebuilding year. Not as much leadership as they had last year. We'll go in about 30 seconds. It's a pass for me, like I said. It looks like hopefully UMass holds on here. If UMass holds on here, I'm gonna have enough rooting going on for me to try and turn a $40 bill into a $1,200 bill. You know, with the Nevada outright.
I would too. Okay, believe me, if it holds up and UMass pulls this off, I mean, again, all bets are off in Purdue. Couldn't care less about losing that straight bet.
Yeah.
Seriously, I'm going for the parlay, and it's all packed.
So, all right, let's head off to our next commercial break. When we come back, we have a whole slate of Saturday football too. I want to talk about plus NFL. Starts next Thursday, so there's going to be NFL games, pro regular season week one games that have taken place before we go on the air next week. I can't believe that. That's absolutely amazing to me. William Hill Sports Show, ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
All right, we're going to handicap this Saturday slate of college football, and I'm going to give you guys what I bet. You're going to get it here. I'm only going to go through it one time. So a lot of this, I'll post maybe a few, but this is the only way to get it. Listeners to us live on ESPN 94.5 FM. Ohio State, Florida Atlantic tomorrow. Ohio State laying 27.5. That's one of the 9 a.m. games. Josh, did you wager on this game?
No. Yeah, I did a little research today. I think it's Ryan Day's. Keep in mind, everybody, Urban Meyer's gone, new coach. You can't just expect Ohio State to be the same as they used to be, but talent-wise, they're all right. They got the kid Justin Fields from Georgia. The transfer is great. Dual threat, a highly recruited guy. He just bailed because, you know, Fromm sitting there at Georgia for the next couple of years. Florida Atlantic, remember Lane Kiffin's team, they're sometimes, you know, competitive. But, Ken, over the years, Ohio State usually wins these like 62-0. I would only have the buck inside of, you know, 28. I'd probably take them, but it's likely a pass.
I have Florida Atlantic, just for the record. Josh?
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
Didn't touch it. Not a big Ohio State fan, and not knowing what's going on since Urban Meyer left, like what type of, you know, team they're actually going to have on the
field.
So
bet the dog. Well, you're getting four touchdowns.
I want to fade it too, Ken, but not tomorrow. Like against better competition when the coaching makes a difference. But,
It's the Lane Kiffin thing.
Don't be scared to bet a dog.
I'm not scared to bet a dog. I'm just
You just did.
Yeah, two of them.
Yeah. All right.
We're going to Nebraska.
Let's move down to Nebraska's not on the card. Do you have anything on Nebraska?
No, other than this, Ken, as this number suggests, I think they're way overrated this year. Like their quarterback Martinez is like a dark horse Heisman. It's because of the Scott Frost effect, right? What he did at UCF. He's back coaching the Huskers. They're expected to have this huge year, and we'll see, Ken. Maybe they do, but I think they're one of those teams that's getting way overhyped, and I'm going to look to play against them.
I know that a bunch of the wise guys played Nebraska at the opening number on the opening number. So. Next game, let's keep going down here. NC State, East Carolina, open at 16.5, up to 17. All the sharp guys I know, they split this game. So this game's 100% pass for me.
Yeah, and there's not again, there's a couple games that we look right here. Like Indiana rarely covers some. You know, Ball State's not a real sexy underdog.
I
would
Indiana.
Only take Ball State and Akron. You could not lay the points with Illinois or Indiana there.
I bet them both. I did.
And you played the chalk? Well, good luck.
I did.
I mean, you'll probably go 1-1.
Okay. Toledo, Kentucky. Kentucky laying a bunch of points to Toledo. I ended up with Toledo plus 11.5 in this game.
I'd have probably done that too. I mean, Kentucky had a great breakout year last season, you know, contended for the SEC title to the very end. Great team, but they lost a lot of guys off of that, Ken. I expect a little bit of a fallback.
Okay.
That is the one that I will lay the dog with you as well. But I always hate when we all agree on something. So.
Yep. South Carolina, North Carolina opened at 10.5 up to 11 with South Carolina being the favorite. Sharp guys I know played the first number, the very first number on South Carolina. And so I followed those guys on South Carolina.
Yeah, that's a tough one, Ken, because keep in mind, again, Mac Brown going back to North Carolina. That's crazy. They finally got rid of Larry Fedora, way overdue. But we'll see if Mac Brown's got anything left in the tank as a coach. South Carolina is going to be good. I actually took them over, Ken. They had the season win total type of thing, and I think their total was 5.5. I think they're going to be pretty good. So I like their over quite a bit, but another rivalry thing, I couldn't lay 11 there.
It's going to be tough to lay 11. Mac Brown's been out for how long? 3 years? 4 years?
Maybe
not
longer.
Not long enough.
I mean, go from that burnt orange to the Carolina blue. It's going to be weird.
He was from there, you know. He did coach North Carolina a long time ago, but.
All right, it looks like Rutgers is getting ready to get in the barn. Our enjoyment up 14-0.
But still, we're doing all right.
All right, Bama Duke. Bama Lane opened at 34.5. A full-point move to the dog at 33, Josh. I'm going to roll tie, baby.
Yeah, you know what? Again, I would pass on this one only because, you know, Alabama's injuries are starting to pile up. Duke is well-coached, as we've seen, you know, year in and year out. They kind of don't get enough respect here. Yeah, the Tide probably – pull away from them at some point, but 57 is a pretty low total. It tells you that some defense might be played. To me, it's dog or pass, but I'll lay off.
Rutgers in the barn. Dang it. Anyways,
that's
Josh.
Terrible.
I think the only play here's got to be Alabama. After watching Clemson yesterday, and they beat them very handily, but
they didn't look good.
Stupendous at all.
Trevor Lawrence did not
look good.
He threw four all of last year, I believe, and he throws two in his season opener.
Yep.
And this is the game I could see Saban being like, okay, let's come out and show them that we're Alabama, that we're the real number one team, and just destroying Duke.
And we're still not happy. Stanford, Northwestern, Stanford laying 6.5.
I think that one's
dogs,
tough, Ken.
Dogs.
Yeah, pretty much, because you know what? Stanford's got a lot of players that I like. I mean, their quarterback's real nice. KJ Costello is coming along. They got a good passing game, but just one of the Northwestern's hard to get away from for the most part. Yeah, and actually, what's our total? Yeah, might be looking at an under there.
All right, Virginia Tech, Boston College, 4.5, 5. Nothing here. Obviously, your money coming in on Virginia Tech because everybody, you know, one of the biggest followers in all of college football is Virginia Tech first week.
Yeah, exactly. But I like it the other way. Boston College has a decent team coming back. They had a good year last year, and I kind of like. And they've owned Virginia Tech the past few years, so I would take the home dog there.
All right, big game here. Boise State, Florida State, 4.5. Josh,
tough one. You know what? I kind of like there, Ken. The total actually went up since they moved the venue to Tallahassee. I like the under because Boise State's breaking in a new quarterback. You know, all those years, you know, with a veteran. Now they got to kind of start over a little bit with Brett Rippon. Florida State actually has a veteran in James Blackman who's started there for at least parts of 3 years now. But it's defensive oriented. You know, the Seminoles are going to fly around. They're going to have the athletes. But Boise State's kind of fallback thing the past couple of years. It's been a real solid defense. And maybe you see a little more, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if this goes under.
I think the under is going to play, but I kind of lean a little bit to Florida State. I mean, you have the home team, the home favorite, even though it's in Tallahassee, but out-athlete. I mean, just they're going to be faster, stronger, move the ball around a lot better.
Now, when is Boise, when are they going to be done? I mean, you see these mid-majors, these mid-level schools that eventually, you know, they have their little 2-3-4 year run, but when is Boise going to be done? I mean, when can we expect Boise to come back down to earth, or is it ever going to happen?
You know,
look at Josh
question.
Is looking at me dumbfounded.
Well, I was going to say it's a good question, Ken, but, you know, it's a cyclical process, right? Again,
what's a word you just used?
Cyclical, goes in cycles, and Boise State has established themselves
as
a consistent winner, right? There was a time that they were in the national picture. And like I said, they've taken a step back, though, only because Chris Peterson, when he left and went to Washington, and, you know, they've been okay, but they haven't been quite the same. They've just been kind of, you know, good enough to still be top of the Mountain West. But, you know, Ken, there's been times where, you know, when Boise's not even in the conference title game of the Mountain West, that they've dropped off, you know, a little bit. But they're still just one of those things where now their reputation kind of precedes, you know, them, and they get a higher level of athlete than a lot of the mid-majors. And so to answer your question, I just still think, you know, for the foreseeable future, they'll remain viable.
Hate them. Hope Christian Borders is listening. I hate Boise State.
Who doesn't hate, yeah, besides Christian Borders?
That's about right.
Brad Carlson,
yeah. What else we got? We don't have a whole lot. Let's see.
Can I go back to one game we skipped over just real quick?
Yes. Do you have an opinion on it?
Yeah, it's because I want to give out a good one. I think it's a good one. Memphis, Ole Miss, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Memphis opened up at -6. It says our card says 5. I think it's even down to 4.5. But this is ridiculous. Both teams don't have much, but Memphis lost a bunch of players. You know, the running back, you know, got drafted by the Rams. I just think this is too much respect for the Tiger. Ole Miss is going to have the talent edge. They tend to come out strong. This is Ole Miss and possibly Moneyline. It's a good bet.
All right, so you like some Ole Miss?
Take the Rebels, yeah.
We did not play that. I'm looking at what I bet. I have no action in that game. I did play SMU +2.5, 3 versus Arkansas State just to give out the rest of my picks. So right. I did play that, guys. Thoughts on that?
I got nothing.
Yeah, not on that one.
And then what other games do we have here?
How about tomorrow? Would you like Oregon against Auburn?
Played Oregon.
I kind of like
Oregon
the Ducks
plus 3.5.
Yeah, that's why I don't get Ken. There seems to have been some steam on Auburn because it was 3, now 3.5. They're starting a true freshman at quarterback. We know Oregon has a real Heisman candidate, Justin Herbert, and one of the most experienced offensive lines in the country. When you have that much of a personnel edge, I mean, and I think the points could come into play. Expect a nice close game, but it's Ducks plus 3.5 for sure.
And congratulations, we play Oregon next week.
Oh, boy. Hopefully they'll have a nice letdown big win over Auburn. Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully we're having a letdown after our big win over Purdue. Dude.
Either way.
Josh?
Yeah, I think Oregon's definitely going to be the play here, having their Heisman Trophy hopeful candidate coming back. I mean, everybody thought he was going to be the third quarterback taken
number
in
one.
The draft.
Yeah, it was, you know, funny, but honestly, three. Kyler Murray may not have gone one if Herbert goes out. And you know what I think is an underrated sports story overall because of that, because you don't see it that often, is that it's absolutely crazy because if Justin Herbert goes, he's probably number one. He probably knocks Murray out of that spot. And when you're healthy and there's no other reason to, you just don't see that. Again, we've talked before about like Tim Duncan's of the world. He spent 4 years at Wake Forest. But you don't see, especially in football where the injury risk is so high, the guy just turn it down and come back for a senior year. I just thought that was an underreported story.
Would you want to play for the Cardinals?
Not necessarily. He's going to end up on a bad team regardless when he comes out.
Two more games or three more games I want to talk about real quick.
Dolphins, likely.
USC, Fresno State. Fresno State getting 13.5 points. Fresno, you know, came Telford Eric, you know, started, had a big year last year. Fresno's a little bit young this year. You know, what do you think about this, Josh?
Correct. Too much turnover for the Bulldogs, you're right. But USC always gets way too much respect, so I'd only have the
They're
dogs.
One of the least covering teams in college
They're
football.
They're terrible. Yeah, for some reason, yeah, ever since they won that one championship, it's making a 3-touchdown chalk against everybody.
Every week.
They don't deserve it.
Yeah, well, I agree with that.
both the Southern California teams have been letdowns over the last 4 years.
How about Chip Kelly's performance last night? Cost me money. I had plus 7.5. And, you know, they had the ball in field goal range down late with about 3 minutes left. The guy takes a 22-yard sack to kick. I mean, just you got to get rid of the ball right there. Kick the field goal, get within 10, and see what happens. You know, it's just ridiculous. Chip Kelly's the most overrated coach. I mean,
with what he did in Oregon, I think everybody thought that was going to transition to the Eagles to the Niners. Yeah.
And it did briefly. I mean, he made the playoffs with the Eagles.
Now he's back in college and he's at, you know, UCLA. Going to be able to draft all these kids and nothing. Like,
that quarterback might be the worst quarterback, I think. I mean, for a big time school that I've ever seen. He is bad. He missed so many wide open receivers. I'm very bitter about my outcome in that game.
But it'll be better tonight if we hit that parlay. But, you know, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, he's a highly recruited guy from Vegas. I thought last year, they started him. They were smart. They eventually went with Wilton Spate, who was the Michigan transfer, a senior. But, you know, you can tell he's got some dual threat ability. But this is the year. He's a sophomore. He's got a year under his belt, and you wanted to see what he had. But, Ken, you know, Cincinnati is one of the best defenses in the country. And I played the Bearcats only thinking, you know what, this is, you know, too much big of a spotlight here. UCLA might be improved. But people just assume they have a big supporting cast coming back that they'll suddenly be, you know, world beaters. And Cincinnati won 11 games last year and returned everybody. So I wasn't surprised to see them struggle. But, yeah, you're right. It wasn't looking good.
Yeah, so terrible, terrible, terrible. What else? We got two more games we can get through this break real quick. That was USC. Oklahoma Sunday plays Houston. Oklahoma laying a buttload of points, 23.5 points. Jalen Hurts coming out. You know, Oklahoma's reloaded. I mean, they're just number 4 team in the nation. I can't really say anything about this game right now. Me being a Sooner fan, I think Oklahoma's loaded, but laying 23.5 is a whole lot of points. The week after that, the following week after that, they play UCLA, which I think me and my buddy are going to head down and watch that game. So this game's probably a pass and just an observation game to me, just because I don't know how good Oklahoma's defense is going to be. And Houston can put up a few points.
So exactly.
If they, you know, a little rust to start, at 23 might be a little bit hard to cover, Josh.
Oh, I agree. But also, I like Houston quite a bit in this one because you realize they've changed some personnel and whatnot. You know, they got rid of their coach. You know, they got Dana Holgorsen from West Virginia. And they're look up their quarterback, Derek King. Great numbers. They'll be able to score enough.
All right, we have to go to commercial break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Notre Dame and Louisville on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Okay, we're back. Club Cal Neva, ESPN 94.5 FM, just outside the William Hill Racing Sportsbook, here with John the Hawk Stevens.
Yo!
He got mic'd up. I want to get your opinion about the Colorado State game real quick in just 1 second, but I got to get an update. We were up 14-0 in the Rutgers UMass game, and then it was 14-7, but now it's 21-7. So we went. Right. Josh is going, yes, update.
Tough
update.
One.
Nice.
Well, Josh,
you have the money line there, right?
Little two team.
Yeah, I saw it. You posted it on our Facebook page.
Can you be ESPN Sports Handicapping? And Josh Nagel, make sure you get his stuff. Tons of stories. He's a writer for sportsline.com. So, Josh?
Thanks, Ken. Correct. And, of course, first week in college football, I'll be
active.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I've got games up there for tonight, but also I'll be putting plays on for tomorrow throughout the holiday weekend. And even all the study and everything we're talking about here, you'll see it reflected in the plays I put up there. But if you're interested at all about what, you know, I actually like the best, it'll be up there.
All right. With that being said, John, Colorado State. I said I wanted to ask you when we're leading in what your thoughts are because you're a big Buff fan.
It just seems too much at this point. I know Montez is entering his 33rd year.
Yeah, he's been around.
Colorado.
He went from like the young guy now. Wait, who's the receiver? It was a huge NFL prospect.
Oh, geez, I forget his name.
But yeah, he's a real playmaker though. But
it's two touchdowns basically. I know Colorado State isn't much, but it's a rivalry game, obviously. And the Buffs are just – I don't think they're in any position right now. I saw their came across the crawl this morning. They're 2,000-1 to win the Pac-12. Could that possibly be right?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, that can't –
That cannot be right. So I must – maybe I was still a little cloudy. But yeah, as far as this game itself goes, it'd be the Rams or nothing for me. I actually have the Rams on a teaser up to 20.5.
All right, there you have it. John, any college football that you want to talk about? I know we spent the first 20 minutes talking about the Nevada-Purdue game. Everybody knows that I weighed in early on at -8 because we talked about, you know, the line, the money only coming in on Purdue, and the number has been stretched all the way to 11. I did end up betting the game under the 59.5, just because I think that with two freshman or first, you know, Purdue's quarterback not really having a lot of experience, yeah. And we're starting a redshirt freshman. I thought the game might play a little bit slow. I don't see it going to be a shootout. And like I told Josh and Tommy, listen, if it is a shootout, John, I'm excited about the offense the Wolfpack's going to bring to the field.
Exactly. And, has there been a significant line movement in the Boise State Florida State game?
Total. I mean, just since they announced the move to Tallahassee, yeah. The total went from 51 to 54.5.
Okay, but as far as the line itself?
Yeah, and Florida State's become a bigger favorite. They open at like 4. It's 6.5 now.
I was leaning towards the Noles as it was. I wish I would have gotten in on it before that. It's almost getting to take territory.
At 7, you'd almost have to.
You'd almost have to.
Boise State in this situation.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, going to Doak as opposed to playing that game in Jacksonville, it's such a – that's a whole different ball game when you go to Doak Campbell. So at this point, I still think I like Florida State in that situation. But if it gets above 7, I might be thinking about a take there.
You know, John, one of the questions I presented to Josh and Tommy was when does Boise State, when are they done? I mean, you know, you see these programs, you know, they
like
get
the Patriots,
good for
man.
Three, four, 5 years, 6 years. But here Boise is just continually just turning the page and stepping up in competition.
Yeah, I mean, we're hoping they're done when Dan Hawkins left.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's
crazy
not,
to realize, too, how that was just the start of things.
It was the start.
How much better Chris Peterson was.
I mean, when you
coach.
Go back to Dirk Cutter and Houston Nutt and just, you know, there's a lineage there.
Yeah.
When, you know, they were following the Wolfpack from conference to conference, they were the little brothers. It was always hard to win on the blue turf,
yeah.
But we handled them all the time.
As you know, it's funny how those things happen too, right? Because Hawkins went for what he thought was greener pastures, fell on his face at Colorado of all places, never heard from again.
Exactly.
He was just a commentator.
The only thing you ever heard was, it's not intramurals.
Exactly.
It's the Pac-12. But, right. Yeah, to answer the question, they're not going anywhere.
For the rest of the existence of Boise, they're going to be a top 25 program.
In their space... Yeah, I mean, you're going to see Fresno State jump up occasionally, San Diego State,
Nevada.
Hopefully Nevada. But other than that, the one constant's always going to be Boise State, I think.
When's the Pac-12 going to poach them?
I don't think they will. I think if they were ever going to do that, it would be them and BYU, don't you think?
Oh, I think so.
There's also, you know, is that part of the reason that maybe Boise has a baseball program now to just make themselves more attractive to that? But I don't know. I say you go geographically and take the two Nevada schools. How about that?
There you go. Oh, for the Pac-12?
Yeah, let's go.
Boy.
Let's go.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy, though, if we see some more conference shuffling and realignment. I still can't get used to, like, Syracuse is in the ACC and finally starting to accept that. But I would say Big East, right? And a few years ago when they all played, like, musical chairs, still sometimes I find myself making mistakes. For instance, you know, John, I'll quiz you real quick. The Big Ten has how many football teams in it?
14?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pac-12 is going to be the Pac-16 or whatever.
It's crazy. And you remember Boise had that deal in place to go to the Big East
right.
before backing out on that. That just would have made zero sense. I don't know. But it seems like they're – Boise, you know, they get a bigger share than the rest of the Mountain West does. They're in a pretty good position where they are. You know,
I agree.
They're always going to be looked upon the non-Power 5 schools as the school. You know, you're going to have little flare-ups here and there with other schools, but they're always going to be the one. They have that reputation. Remember when they beat Oklahoma, Ken?
Vaguely.
That Statue of Liberty was one heck of a play. You know, that's my favorite BCS bowl
Hook
game.
And ladder, Statue of Liberty.
People talk about, like, the most famous BCS bowl
games ever. I'm
going
to start unplugging stuff.
I like that one. But, you know, the Texas-USC game is also talked about fondly, but the Boise State one's my favorite.
Those are two great ones.
All right. So there we have it. So a little update real. UMass. Oh, Rutgers just scored on a huge, huge play. So 21-14. Well, we caught it. We knew we were
alive, Gino.
We're live. I mean, we're ahead. So we're ahead.
17-point dog. It's all right.
Yeah. So, all right. That being said, real quick, John, any other college football games you like? USC, Fresno, you want to weigh in on anything like that?
I don't know. I'm really interested to see what Fresno team.
The young Fresno
comes,
team?
Yeah, exactly. Because I think Tedford's in a position where they're going to reload. But they lost a lot of talent going into this year.
I agree. But then again, you know, we all, as you know, as sports handicappers, John, that USC is one of the most non-covering teams in all of college football.
And this, you know, it's Clay Helton. He and Gus Malzahn, I think, of the big schools are mentioned on being on the hot seat more than anybody. So this is a big year for USC.
That's right. All right. Real quick, Oklahoma-Houston, John, I passed on that because I think that the number might be too many.
Thanks,
but Notre Dame, Louisville, opened at 20.5. down to 18. So a two and a half point move. 2.5 point move on the favorite or on the dog.
Yeah,
this, Josh.
Ken, I'm a little surprised to see it, right? Because we know Notre Dame's usually the big public team. I'm a little bit surprised to have seen just about, as you mentioned, almost a 3 point move on Louisville, given how poor they've been. You know, the last couple of years. Last year, after Lamar Jackson went to the NFL, and they had to move on without him. They were just a disaster, though. And it wasn't even – I mean, offensively, they were pretty bad. But that was the worst tackling team. Alabama put about 70 points on them in week one last year. They never recovered, and so they just went downhill. But you realize they finally – they gave them a reason to get rid of Petrino, and they hired the Appalachian State guy who's really good, you know, Scott Satterfield, who's a hot, you know, up-and-coming coaching prospect. We know they wanted the guy we're going to see tonight, Jeff Brohm. They wanted him. He stayed at Purdue, but he's their, you know, hero quarterback who they wanted to bring back. Turned him down. Satterfield's not a bad second option, though. And he's kind of a back-to-basics type of guy. He focused on, you know, the fundamentals, strong run game. He did at App State. It's their first, you know, game under him. You know, hard to see him just getting absolutely crushed by Notre Dame, but I don't have a lot of faith in the Cardinals until I see him.
Yeah, I don't really have any play on that, especially because I don't have any faith in Louisville, at least as a football squad. But...
You mean, what about the cheating basketball school? That's okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if you're going to cheat, make sure it's basketball taxes women, right?
Whoa. opinions of Tommy Thompson are his and his alone.
Yeah, exactly. All of us.
I hadn't heard that one before, but unfortunately, yeah. I think I'm going to remember it.
Yeah. Shannon must not be listening right now.
Inappropriately. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, she's coming. She's going to the game. So
she must not be listening.
No, but she's going to hear it.
We'll play her the transcript.
She's going to hear it. I had to give her a ticket to the game so I could have my designated ride home. So,
oh, perfect.
So Skybox 317 for the Nevada game. If anybody's out there and wants to show up, I have all the whiskey.
I'll see to it that you don't.
I got two bottles, two handles of Crown and a handle of Jameson.
Oh, God.
And no fried chicken.
No fried chicken. That's right. University's catering today. We're gonna see how that goes.
Yep.
So that being said, Louisville, Notre Dame. It's hard to believe, guys, turning the page and moving forward, that this time next week there's already going to be one pro football game that's going to be played. There's a Thursday night pro game next week.
That's
week
Bears
one.
And Packers.
Bears-Packers.
Finally.
Packers going into Lambeau, getting 3 points. Chicago's favored by 3 with a total of 46. You know, it's kind of like you see all the hype, like just like the Cleveland.
So they're in Lambeau?
Oh, I say Lambeau. Excuse me. No, excuse me. No, they're not in Lambeau.
That's very confusing.
No, they're going to Soldier.
Right,
excuse me. Excuse me. I did say that wrong. Touchdown Wake Forest, by the way. So with that being said, they're going into Soldier, and it's just hard to believe that everybody's just discrediting the Packers and just giving the Bears and the Browns the keys to the kingdom.
It's Bears Brown Super Bowl already, isn't it?
Oh, 100%.
What are we even playing these games for?
The two teams that have the most Super Bowl liability for the sports books, Bears Browns.
Yeah,
that is pretty crazy, Ken. But I still think the Bears deserve more credibility, at least because they had 12 wins last year. They won the division. And what's weird though about what they've done in the preseason here, it's so bizarre because Nagy hasn't played anybody.
It's so bizarre.
I don't think Trubisky. Well, he saw the field like once. I mean, he never played a starter. I don't think you'd hold your hand back that much. It seemed he was more focused on that kicking competition. And since they got rid of the guy who missed the one against the Eagles, Parkey, they've been trying out like 10 different guys, and they still don't have settled. But nonetheless, I mean, if they're – put it this way, I think if the Bears kind of resembled what they were last year, I think they're the play against the Packers.
How about if your offense got you one more yard, it wouldn't hit the upright and then the crossbar and then the upright.
Exactly.
Then the crossbar.
They made a big thing about that, but they also didn't like Parkey because he ended up going on Oprah or whatever it was. And
stuff. You don't need to kick her out there.
Totally.
Vanderjacken.
They didn't like that. Exactly. So they just caught him. But now, of course, I got all these journeymen coming in, and none of them have been all that good.
Yeah, Kenny, I know what you're saying as far as the hype of the Bears and what's with the Packers. How can the Packers just be discredited? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Is that a word?
I get that. Yeah, no, it is. And that's I get what you're saying, and it's going to be interesting, you know, under a new regime, Aaron Rodgers, maybe the most gifted quarterback we've ever seen, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
So it's going to be – I love that that's the Thursday night game because that's a game.
It's a good game. Black and blue division,
you're going to learn a lot.
You know, over the last six times that these teams have met in Chicago is 5-1. So five of the last six that these two teams have kind of matched up. The total is 46 in this game. The Packers – the last 21 meetings in Chicago are 16-5 versus the spread, and 12-5 in the last 17 straight up. So, you know, the fate. This all says Packers and over. But, you know, with that being said, it's hard to roll out of bed and just start betting these NFL totals over. Like, you
know.
But, you know, so Josh.
And you do realize it did open at 3.5, though. So there has been some sentiment
Packer
for the
money.
Packers. And, yeah, get that extra hook off the key number there. But we'll see. Again, I'm curious to see how Rodgers looks with the new coaching regime and scheme and all that. Again, you haven't seen really behind the curtain for much of any team in this preseason. But I just think if the Bears sort of pick up where they left off, that was an awfully solid team. They gave Rodgers some fits last year. I like the Bears.
All right. Pack update before we go off to our last commercial break. Pack still getting 11 points right now. A little bit of money's come in on the under since we opened the show because we had 59.5. It's down to a flat 59. So that's what we have right now. So right now Purdue is minus 11 with a total of 59. Let's see what we have in our other scoreboards. Oh no, I was gonna see what we got right here. UMass, what's going on in our UMass 21? See, 21-14, UMass, if you've been following our Moneyline Parlay, we posted it on our Facebook page. We have UMass on the money line to Nevada on the money line. $40 pays $1,260. We're up 7 right now, and we have 3rd and 7 at midfield right there.
How much time?
13:31 still. Slow.
Oh, second.
Yeah,
the
game's running.
I thought it was close to half.
Way slow.
Long way to go.
With that being said, Wake Forest took an early lead over Utah State 7-0. Let's head off to our last commercial break. Come back, we'll talk sports on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
All right, welcome back to the last segment, the William Hill Sports Show, ESPN 94.5 FM. It's Josh Nagel. As Ken Barler has stepped away to get some more gambling action at the counter at the Club Cal Neva, so we will start on the final segment here.
Why don't you just fire up the app?
We could, but sometimes, you know, Ken likes a nice brick-and-mortar gamble like myself. He likes to be able to take pictures. They're easier to post on Facebook with the bigger print, things like that. You know, sometimes I'll send Ken
a screenshot.
Right, but I'll do that. But, you know what, John, sometimes it's not the same. Sometimes I have a cool parlay or whatever. I might text it to Ken or whatever. You know, it doesn't quite look the same as a nice big sportsbook
bet. It's
nice
to actually have the tangible ticket.
It's nice to have the tangible ticket.
Yeah. And you know what? So we were on the NFL a little bit before the last break, but before the show, Tommy brought up a topic that we actually hadn't addressed yet, so we might as well. Andrew Luck, everyone else is doing it, the whole retirement story. It's a little bit outdated at this point, but I think it's interesting in that it seems to be so many polarizing opinions. But, John, here's one funny thing. It's easy to say now because I did it back in the day, and it's too bad because I think I had a post on my website that's now, permanently down for maintenance, joshtangle.com, that I used to run. Kind of ran out of time to keep up with. I do own the domain, so no one should squat on that, but not that they would, other than to just be cruel. But, you know, it does happen. You know,
yeah,
people put in bids and crap, someone else with the same name. But my point being is when it came to Andrew Luck, I actually predicted he would retire by age 30. And it wasn't because I didn't know he was going to be so injured and stuff. But, of course, but I remember seeing him in college and seeing him interviewed. And obviously he was this prodigy. His dad's a big athlete, right? People know Oliver Luck. He's now an athletic director. I believe he's still at West Virginia.
No. He is the commissioner of the XFL.
Is that right?
Yes. Yep.
I didn't know he's dumped all the college athletics, too. But nonetheless, was a famous sports AD and athlete himself. But I just remember seeing him, especially his senior year, and he was getting all this hype. And I just thought, you know, there's something different about this guy. You know, not only, you know, Stanford graduate, but I could see it the way he was interviewed and the way he talked about football. And I realized, like, unlike Tom Brady, who's doing everything he can to play till they, you know, force him out, he didn't live for football. He enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But he was so smart, so self-aware, and had so many other interests. My prediction was this, John. Tell me what you think. Again, the injuries played into it, but my feeling was this. All right, he's going to come out. He enjoys football. He's got that rookie contract, as we know, especially if you're as good as top of the first round and he was first overall. You know, you don't really get paid until the contract expires and you get that huge first deal. I thought, this is what Luck's going to do. He's going to play. He's going to get that huge deal after the rookie deal expires. And I just thought, tons of guaranteed money, things like that. I said, he'll play that second deal out, and then he'll be gone. And I thought, by age 29. Because I just think, like I said, the guy doesn't live for football. He's got too much other stuff to do. Now, it's clear, if you've seen all his interviews and his press conferences, that played into it. Where it's like, you know, I'm tired of being hurt, and I don't want to do this forever anyway.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't surprised. I'm like, more power to him. You know, the timing's unfortunate. But when we talked even a couple weeks ago, when it just seemed like, what's going on? They say he's going to be out of practice for a few days, and now it's clear he wasn't going to start the beginning of the season. And for him to say, you know what, call it a day. Some of the people who are predicting he might come back, he's done. He's going to go hiking and biking, do whatever.
Yeah.
But hey, I can just tell, and I appreciate it. Because there's nothing wrong with
the
result.
He'll be
like said, Tom Brady playing until he's 50, more power to him, too, if he does it. But Andrew Luck was just like, you know what, he enjoyed football. It wasn't his life.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. And it's he's a smart, thoughtful dude. And it was shocking to see it. We were actually here watching the Florida-Miami game when it came across the crawl there, and it's like, what? But then you're
– I started thinking about it. I'm like, oh, I get it. Pretty big news on Saturday night.
Yeah. I get it. Yeah, exactly. And it's just it when you think about it and who it is and what was going on, you know, that it wasn't shocking. It's just he's a guy with bigger fish to fry, as they say. Yeah. And it's just you have to – be married to this game, especially at the quarterback position, or else you can't compete at that level.
And what do you think?
He was a fantastic quarterback.
Of the critics who say, yeah, but you left the team in the lurch and that isn't fair, do you think they have an argument?
I don't, because I think that he came to camp this year fully expecting to give 100% and make the best out of it.
Look what he did last
year. And when he tried to dig deep for that 100%, it wasn't there.
Who are you referring to?
We're talking about the Andrew Luck story. Tommy.
I think, like you said, Tom Brady lives to play football and does everything to maintain that physical ability to do so. And I think Andrew Luck did everything he could within reason. It was too tough, and he quit. But I think it's unfair to say it's the most millennial thing that anybody could do and leave your team hanging. And
that's why I put that on our Facebook page, Troy Aikman calling out Doug Gottlieb for that.
As he should have.
That's stupid. He's the most anti-millennial ever. He doesn't even have social media. There's just a fake Andrew Luck account. Go ahead.
I don't think Andrew Luck is done playing football. I think Andrew Luck, and I don't know what was said before I step back into
the exact opposite.
Yeah. So that should be our next bet. But the Tiger Woods thing. Now I'll give you odds.
I think that he doesn't want to have the pressure of immediate rehab. I think that he wants things to kind of take their course. He'll be out for a year, year and a half, but then he'll make a comeback.
All right, tell you what, Anthony, I'll give you 3 years at same odds, 2-1.
No, not 3 years.
5 years, 2-1. I'll give you +$2.
Rutgers tied it.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at it right now. So, but with that being said, you know, I think he'll come back. I just don't think that he wants the pressure of, you know, the 7-day-a-week, 8-hour-a-day rehab. I think that he wants to do it under a slower rehabbing.
But did you hear his press conference where he's like, I'm just in pain all the time. I'm done. This isn't worth it. I don't think so. I don't think he'll ever play.
I agree with Josh on this one. I really think, and, you know, it's funny. I don't know why the university means something, but the fact that he is a Stanford guy, it means something. In the fact that
why couldn't the other Stanford guy quit?
Which one?
Tiger.
Oh yeah, no, exactly. It all comes back to Stanford. That's funny.
Did you hear, by the way? You know Andrew Luck, because I think his degree's in architecture or whatever. When he got drafted, just for the heck of it, he did just like a goofy pencil drawing of Lucas Oil Stadium. They went for like $1 zillion on eBay. Somebody got a hold of it. I wonder what that one thing's
Andrew
worth
Luck,
now.
That Andrew Luck Twitter account, though.
It's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
That's the best one ever. The Captain Andrew Luck thing and the Revolutionary War language. It's hilarious.
It's brilliant.
Now I'm sad as more as anything that's going to be gone.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I agree with the three of us that I think he's done. I think his body's had enough. But, I mean, he played with a lacerated kidney for a whole half of football. That's
okay.
You can't say that it's...
I walk through life every day with a lacerated kidney because as much as I drink.
Yeah, but you also aren't getting smoked by 300-pound linemen.
Well, you're not a lineman.
Laceration is laceration.
Yes.
Anyways, go ahead. Go ahead, Josh.
I think he's done. I don't think he has the passion like a Tom Brady or, you know, some of these other athletes have. So I don't think.
Is it because he hasn't won?
No.
No, because out of all the years he's played, this was the team.
So
that,
is this the next
the
Barry
chance.
Sanders? Is that where we're at?
That's exactly what this is.
Yep.
And
did somebody already say that?
No.
Oh yeah.
But you reach that point, Ken. If you are not 100% in this sport, especially at that position, you can't do it. You can't
with,
do it.
With the division the way it's set up right now and the team that he has around him, you think if he still had any bit of fire in his belly to play, he would make it work this year? Because this is going to be a great...
I don't think he can rehab in time for this year, Tommy. I think all the rehab would be focused to next year. That's what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying, but then why retire? He could still just take time.
Yeah, he could have sat this year and got every single paycheck.
But
being
I think that he might just change his mind. That's what I'm saying. I think there's going to be emptiness. That's where I'm headed.
Gronkowski, I think, will change his mind. A guy like that will change his mind.
I agree with that.
Andrew Luck, guy's made. It depends on if he gets a movie contract.
Either or he's in the WWE, anything like that.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck, I think he's just a different cat.
And Kent, what do you think about legacy, though? So it's funny, right? Just roll back the clock a few years ago, and you had Luck, RG3, 1 and 2. So many expectations of both of them, particularly Luck. I think it's a mixed legacy. He did lead him to the playoffs, AFC title game, 4 Pro Bowls. But yeah. Then RG3, who people thought was this transformative talent, better than you know anyone expected. And suddenly, you know, he's washed out, although he's still hanging on. He washes out, and Luck's retired. A 1-2 punch, and neither one really worked out.
It's such a crapshoot.
You can't call Luck a bust.
No, Luck's not a bust. And
it's a sad story because he's truly a what if. It's more of a what if.
Totally.
Who, I mean, besides like Aaron Rodgers, like John Elway, who's more physically gifted at that position?
That's
than
my
Andrew
point.
Luck?
That's my exact yeah. point.
Again, I want to ask you,
another Stanford
Nick
guy, John
Bogdanovich,
Elway.
If you took a future on like Andrew Luck to lead the league in passing yards, is that no action? Do you get a refund, or are you just out of luck? No pun intended.
Bada.
Yeah,
you
I couldn't help
that.
It. Again, I didn't. It was
you
too
did.
Late.
Yeah. You did. You're out of luck.
Out of fortune.
Yeah, out of fortune.
That's like a golfer. You must play for action. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
That's a bad. That's a rough one, though.
I have no idea.
He was among the favorites to win the passing yard.
That's a great question. I'll actually ask Nick about that, and I'll post it on our Facebook page. So that being said, we have less than 2 minutes. Wolfpack plays Purdue tonight. Kickoff at 6:35. Pack opened up as an 8-point dog. And it looks like right now, I'm looking at it right now. Let me get update line right here. 59. It still looks like 11. So right now, Purdue's at an 11-point favorite. Total is 59. John, how do you see the game playing out? Real quick.
31-21. Somebody.
31-21. Somebody.
Purdue.
All right. Purdue.
I think Pat covers the 11.5, and I think it goes under by 5.
5 points, Josh.
So ran on the number. Purdue by 10. Split the difference.
Thanks for joining.